So it's really fun to kind of have a little family affair this morning. My sister, with a smile, calls us the Duggar family. So I'm not sure about what to think about that. But it's really fun to be part of a family, by God's grace, where everybody loves the Lord and does their best to serve Him faithfully. And I can tell you, for a dad, there's nothing more exciting than that. John wrote one of his epistles to the church, and he said, "I have no greater joy than to know that my children are walking in the truth." Of course, he's writing to the church, but we've kind of got a little church, and God's really blessed us that way, and so I'm really thankful. Josiah is going to share this morning, and I was trying to think of all kinds of funny things I could say about Josiah, and I went blank, which is really good for you. We just had a birthday party for Jeremiah on Sunday, and we were telling all kinds of crazy stories, but don't remember any of them. So what I want to say about Josiah is that, as my oldest son, I don't think I ever said this to him when he was growing up. I hope I didn't. But there's a lot of pressure on the oldest child in the family, because they kind of set the tone for the rest of the family. And so, thankfully, I have a son who set a really wonderful tone for the rest of the family in terms of really being set on following the Lord. And my other kids have always said that really made a difference for them. I know Sarah said that before. So I'm thankful for that, and I'm thankful for a lot more. But just really glad to have Joe come and share. So Joe's youth pastor here at Haviland Friends, coaches some basketball, assistant coach for the high school team, and married to Shelby. Shelby here today? Not right now. But come on up. Let's pray, and we'll have you share what God's put on your heart. Father, we thank you for this morning, for this wonderful time to worship you. Father, we thank you so much for the gift of being in family, but most importantly, for being adopted into the family of God by the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ. And so, Father, I thank you that Josiah has a place in your family, and I know that he loves you. And so, Father, as he shares what you've put on his heart, give him just a great sense of freedom and peace as he shares. And Lord, would you help us to have receptive hearts as we listen and as we seek to put these things into practice. And we'll give you thanks in Christ's name. Amen.
All right. Well, it's really good to be with you guys this morning. You know, it's so cool because God's presence is in this place, and it's not about he's in this place because we're in a church building. He's in this place because of the attitude of worship here this morning already. So I'm just glad to be part of it today. As I share with you, in working with teenagers, you get a lot of humility because they're very honest. And you guys probably remember, you're not very far removed from that stage. You're pretty honest. And teenagers are the same way that I work with, especially the junior hires. The question I get from them all the time is, what do you do? All they see is that I'm there. Like, I do youth group with them. I hang out with them. I take them on trips. We do all this stuff. And they're always asking me what I do, like, with the rest of my time. So it's a good check to what do I do with my time. And one of the funnier, it was a very humbling experience I had just a couple weeks ago. In junior high, we've got a lot of squirrely kids, but one squirrely kid in particular comes running up to me, and he goes, "I got two questions for you." I'm like, "Okay." And he points at my face, and he goes, "What's that?" And I was like, "It's a zit." And he's like, "Okay, are we going to the gym?" I was like, "Yeah." He's like, "Okay." So that's all he wanted to know. He didn't care about what was going on, what were we singing, what was I talking about. He wanted to know about the zit on my face and if we're going to go play games at the gym. So once again, very humbling experience to work with students. So my hope, though, is that this morning, as I share, is that I will be honest with you with what God has placed on my heart and what he's kind of been doing and challenging me in, and to share that with you this morning. And so I hope that you yourselves will be honest with God where you're at and what he's trying to do with you this morning. This morning, I'm going to talk about the topic of doubt. Doubt, not something that is very fun to admit to when we have doubts, whether they're small things or whether they're big things, as in being doubting something in our relationship with Christ. Doubt is a hard thing, and so often one small doubt can be blown out of proportion and become huge. I like sports quite a bit. I'm really big into sports. I like to play, I like to watch, all of that, and sports fans are very fickle. They can be in love, they follow this team, they are diehards for them. And one game, they lose, and especially in football. You know, there's few games, so every game's important. So you lose one game, and all of a sudden, the fans are mad. They are ticked off. They can't believe that they just lost that game. They want the coach to be fired. They question the play calling in the game. And all of a sudden, this love and this desire has gone to this like hatred and this doubt about this team. And so that's kind of a small thing, but I think it happens as a student. When you're in college, academically, you come into school, maybe you know, you feel like God is leading you into this major, and so you start to take these courses, and you're not doing so well. You fail a test, and it's like, man, I don't know if I'm cut out for college. I don't know if this is for me. I don't know if this is really the major God had for me. You know, I'm not doing very well in the classes, so maybe this isn't where God wants me. So doubt creeps in. And it's very powerful. It can take these very good, normal behaviors and turn them into all these questions and all these unsures of what's going on. So as a student at a Bible college, what are you supposed to do when doubt starts to creep in? In this phase of your life, what are you supposed to do when doubt comes in? When you doubt whether God is hearing you, you have this crisis, you're struggling with things in life, and you doubt whether God is listening to you and what's going on. You doubt whether God is even there. Is God even paying attention to me? Is he there? And it's easy to just be done with God. You guys have probably seen people around you, friends, family members, who were walking with God, who had a relationship with Christ, and they came into this moment of doubt, this moment of question, and they left. They just said, you know what? I don't think this is for me. I'm done with God. I have a friend who did that. He and I grew up together as kids. In 1994, when we were 10 years old, we went to Billy Graham Kids Crusade, and we got to go be at that, and it was really cool. And at that time, his mom had just accepted Christ, and so he was just kind of getting into who Jesus was and what this all meant. And at that thing, I rededicated my life, and at the same time, he went forward with me, and he accepted Christ for the first time. And it was a really cool thing, and it kind of created a bond between us because we experienced that together. And we went through youth group together. We worked at a camp as counselors together. And he started to kind of get into high school and just started to have some doubts, started to have some questions. The things that he was sure about, he wasn't so sure about now. And he started to get really big into the music scene and started just surrounding himself with people that were challenging him in his thinking. And so I could watch him slowly start to move away from this faith, this relationship that he had had with Christ. He had these doubts, but he wasn't being honest with God about them. He was trying to just push them away and act like they weren't there. And it broke my heart just a few months ago. I haven't talked to him in a while, but it popped up, and he added me as a friend on Facebook, and so it was really cool to get in contact with him. And every time I have a friend from the past add me, I like to go and look and see just kind of what they're up to. Look at their info, look at their pictures, see what's going on. And I went to his info, and under religion it said agnostic. And so this kid that I grew up with, like being brothers in Christ, growing together in our faith, helping younger kids grow in their faith, this kid had doubts and questions, and instead of being honest with God, he just turned his back and he said, you know what, I don't think I want anything to do with this anymore. And it breaks my heart, but you guys know that happens way too often. That there's people close to you that have these doubts and questions. Instead of being honest with them and going to God with them, they say, maybe this just isn't for me. Maybe there's something else out there for me. And so that's what we do. With a sports fan, it's a very simple thing, but you get mad at your team, and you're like, I'm done with them. It's not like you're just done. You replace that with something else. Maybe you find a new team, but your passions go somewhere else, and so it's the same thing in our faith. Our passion, our excitement for God, if we decide to push it to the side and to kind of suppress it, we're going to find something else to fill that void with. But on the other side of it, doubts can be very helpful when we learn to live with them in the right way. And so that's what I hope that you'll get this morning, is that doubt and questions do not have to be a bad thing. They can help draw us closer to God if we deal with them in the right way. I believe that belief is made up of one or both of these things. And it's knowledge and it's experience. And oftentimes we get one or the other, the extremes. We get the extreme of we attach our faith only to head knowledge, where we're always trying to learn more, get more knowledge, and we measure our faith on this ability of how much we know. That's kind of how we measure our faith. How much do we know about God? And that's kind of determines how close we are to God. Then there's the other extreme of this, and that's that we attach our faith strictly to personal experience. And that being, we almost limit our faith to what's familiar to us, to what we know. We discount the experiences of the people around us, the people that have come before us. We kind of push those aside because it's not what's happened to us. And because of that, we don't really have a foundation because our circumstances are constantly changing. So I think that the strongest faith we have is found in both of those things, a balance of both, a balance of the knowledge, the head knowledge, the learning, but also the personal experience. And the Bible, I believe, provides both of these. What an ironic thing. The Bible provides answers, and it provides knowledge for us, but the Bible also provides stories of relationships, stories of heartache, stories of hope, stories of redemption, and these true accounts of what people went through. It tells of limitless faith, and it also tells of extreme doubts at times that people had. People who messed up, people who got things right, people who believed, and people who doubted. And the Bible is so good. The thing that I enjoy the most about the Bible is that it's brutally honest. It is brutally honest at all times. And it's this way that God has said, this is how I'm going to communicate with you. Here's my word. It's there at all times. And this is how I'm going to communicate with you. And I'm going to be honest with you, and it's going to hurt at times. But it's going to be good for you. It's going to help you out. This morning, we're going to be looking in the book of Psalms. And the Psalms are so good because they almost read like a personal journal in these entries, and especially obviously with what David is just kind of pouring his heart out in several of the Psalms. But it's like these private thoughts, these struggles, these questions as a man is going through his walk and his journey with God. And there's such great encouragement and hope that's found in extremely difficult circumstances. You can open your Bible to Psalm 13. Psalm 13, and we'll be looking at verses 1 through 6, that entire chapter there. The book of Psalm and the life of David as he's kind of pouring out his heart here is so good because I think it provides a picture for us of how we can live in faith through difficult circumstances, through doubts, how to kind of persevere, how to push through those things. It provides such a great example of that. So Psalm 13, first, we're going to go through, we're going to look at verses 1 through 4. You can follow along with me. It says, "How long, O Lord, will you forget me forever? How long will you hide your face from me? How long must I wrestle with my thoughts and every day have sorrow in my heart? How long will my enemy triumph over me? Look on me and answer. O Lord my God, give light to my eyes or I will sleep in death. My enemy will say, I have overcome him. And my foes will rejoice when I fall." There's some powerful words that David is saying right here. He's crying out to God. You can, as you read that, at least for myself, you can sense the anguish, the despair that David is crying out with, the doubt, the doubts. David is unsure. Where are you at, God? Where is your attention gone? Where is your presence gone? Why are you not here with me? Will you forget me forever? You know, and then verse 3, "Look on me and answer." It's almost like David is like demanding, God, give me an answer. Talk to me. Let me know. I love you. You know that I love you. Why will you not talk to me? Why will you not answer me? So all these things for David that had been clear in the past, now in his current experience, he's questioning. He's questioning. He's not sure. Where is God at? Why is he not talking to him? But the great thing, the cool thing about David is that he doesn't stop there. He continues on there in verses 5 and 6. He says, "But I trust in your unfailing love. My heart rejoices in your salvation. I will sing to the Lord, for he has been good to me." So David begins with these cries of doubt and despair, and he ends with this expression of confidence, this crying out to God, "Where are you at? Why aren't you talking to me? Why aren't you here?" Ends with, "You know what? I believe in you. I know that you are good, and I know that you'll take care of me." And this expression of confidence in the end. And so David starts with what he felt, but he ends with what he knew. And so isn't that like so true for us? When we have these emotions, these things are happening, and all we can focus on is what we're feeling right now. And we get so wrapped up in the emotions of it that we forget about what we know, what God has done in the past, what God has been true to do. And that's where David is at. he was open with God about his frustrations. He didn't hold him in. He didn't suppress him. He didn't try and just push him to the side. He was brutally honest with God about his frustrations and what was going on. David had to look back into his past and look at how God had brought him to the point that he was at now. David may have felt forgotten, but he knew that his trust was in God. He may have felt like God was hiding, but he knew God's love. He may have felt sorrow, but he knew God's ultimate goodness. He vocalized the doubt, the hurt, and the despair that was going on in his life. And in this honest dialogue that David has, he arrives at faith. Isn't that such a cool thing with God? That in our honesty, in our frustrations, in our struggles, if we go to God with those things, if we are truly honest with him, we arrive at this moment of faith like David did. So when we have doubt or uncertainty, we need to be honest about it. We need to let God know. We need to think back. How has God shown up in your past? How is God showing up currently, right now in your life, in the situation that you're in now? I think another thing that's so important is to look at the people and at the world around you. How is God moving in the people around you? How is God moving in the billions of people that are across this earth? How is God moving? Not just in your life. Sometimes we become so self-focused, so hurt in where we're at, that we forget to pay attention to how God is moving in the people around us. David would do this. David, in several psalms, would recite the history of God's work in Israel. It was such a cool thing because it was a reminder of how God had moved, not just in his life, but how God had been moving through time, through the people of Israel. And so for us, it's no different. For us to look around and see what God is doing outside of us. Because God is working even when we don't feel like he's maybe doing something in our life right now. We're so focused on the pain, on the frustration, on the hurt, that we can't see how God's moving in our life. And so if we'll look outside of ourselves and see that God is continuing to move in other people. What do you see God doing in the world around you? How does his work encourage you? What confirms his presence and his goodness? For me, we had this amazing group of exchange students, and I've shared about these students before. They came, all of them came with little, and some of them no kind of faith, any kind of religion, I mean, just nothing at all. And so they came and they were part of the community here, and they were some of the most faithful members of youth group. They were part of everything. They just loved just being a part of this environment and this community of people that loved them and kind of embraced them. And we had two girls in particular that while they were here had a personal encounter with Jesus and left and went home and are now walking in a relationship and in faith in God. And it's such a powerful thing. And one of them is so faithful. She'll write me every couple of weeks on Facebook and update me on what's going on, how God is moving in her life. And it never fails that I get these notes at points when I'm maybe preparing for a Wednesday night or whatever it is. And I'm kind of like tired of what I'm doing. I'm kind of frustrated with what I'm doing. And I get these notes from this girl who's in Germany by herself pretty much, trying to find other kids that she can help bring to a relationship with Christ so that she can experience that with them. And she writes me these powerful notes of how, you know, I'm so frustrated. I'm so tired of not having anyone around me, but I know that God's there with me. I know that God doesn't forget me. I know that God doesn't leave me. And so for myself, it's a chance for me to step outside of myself and see how God is continuing to move in the people that are around me, in the people that she's way far away. She has a life that she's living, and we don't really intertwine outside of talking over the internet once in a while. But God is still moving, and it's a powerful, powerful encouragement and example for me to know that God is still moving, even though I may not be feeling it at that moment. God is still moving. So for you guys, it's important. Make it personal. I do this with our youth every time I end. I try to say, you need to make it personal. For you, what is your fear? What is your doubt? What is it that you're afraid to take to God and be honest about? God can handle it. This is something I struggled with, and I'm just starting to get a grasp on, is that I constantly, as a kid, through college, now as a young adult, as a pastor, I struggle with doubts, because I have them, and I've had them my whole life, and I have questions at times, and I always felt like I didn't want to go there because I was worried I might find something about God that I didn't like. I might find something, there may not be an answer there for me. And so I struggle with that, and I kind of, like my friend, I tried to just, whenever something came into my mind, I just would be like, you know what, I don't want to mess with that, I don't want to find out, I don't want to know. And I've just started to let God in on my doubts, on my questions, and be honest with Him. And you know what, you guys, there's nothing, He's not afraid that there's a weakness that you're going to find out. He's not afraid that there won't be an answer there for you. And I'm finding that every time I go to Him and I'm honest with Him with a doubt, with a question, there's an answer. God has an answer. God has something more for you. He has a resolution to that doubt. And so I really want to encourage you in that. Vocalize those gray areas in your life with God. Be honest with Him, because the scary thing is when you don't. When you try and push it aside, when you try and let it go and just say, you know what, it's not a big deal, I'm not going to worry about it. That's when it becomes a problem. But if you're honest with God, you work through those things. God provides answers for those gray areas. I want to, as we close, I want to invite the worship team up. There's this song, as I was preparing, I love music, and it feels like I always kind of have some kind of music going on around me when I'm doing stuff. And as I was preparing this, I was listening to a song, and there's these two lines in this song, and it's so powerful because I think of being in the state of being in doubt, the state of uncertainty, this kind of the state of almost like suspense, of being unsure. And there's these two lines in this song, and I just want to read it to you. It says, "In the chaos and confusion, I know You're sovereign still. In the moment of my weakness, You give me grace to do Your will." And what a reassurance we have. In these times of question, you guys, I know as a college student, you have doubts. You're unsure of where God is taking you. You're unsure of where you're at right now. And that's okay. God wants to use those things to bring you to a place where you draw closer to Him and where it becomes more and more clear. But you have to be honest with Him. And so as we sing this song, I want this to be a time for you just to think about that, to reflect. Where are you at? Where are you struggling? Where are your doubts and your questions about God and where you're at? And so whatever that is for you, I can't tell you what your response needs to be. Your response can be just singing this song and being in a worshipful attitude. Your response might be sitting in silence. I don't know where you're at, but God knows where you're at, and He wants to meet you right here in this place, in your seat. But you've got to be honest with Him. You've got to take that first step and just say, God, I am unsure about this. Can You help me out? So we're going to sing this song, and I just want to encourage you to do that this morning. Thank you.
Jesus.